Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Live, and we are America. If you're here tonight listening to us, it's because you are a patriotic American who is fed up with the way things are going. 347-677-1835 is your number to get on the Voice of Liberty, American Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. Lisa's here tonight. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you, Dave?
I'm good. Lisa's busy. She's working on a big story for the big paper. But she's here with us, and she's sticking around, and she's going to kind of listen in, and she'll jump in when we do anything wrong, won't you, Lisa?
I'll jump in whether or not you do anything wrong.
Exactly. And we are pleased tonight to have the newest voice of Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, Kevin Harned. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good, Dave. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Kevin is going to start next week hosting a show on Thursday nights. We promised you we would fill that Thursday night, and we have. Kevin has some radio background, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah, I've done everything from Sunday morning gospel programs to morning drive to sports, just kind of ran the gauntlet.
And here we are now on Internet Blog Talk Radio. You looking forward to this?
I am looking forward to it. I really am. I think this is where it's at. I honestly feel there's a huge transition in the industry. And, you know, the thing is just like drive time, whenever people are starting to download shows onto their flash drives, a lot of car stereos have flash drives now, you know, during rush hour traffic, they can choose to listen to the programs that they want. So there's a lot of change in the industry, and I think this is a great way to reach the people.
I think so too. I really enjoy this. I enjoy the little less regulated atmosphere. I enjoy the fact that because we're not part of the Federal Communications Commission here, we don't have to worry about fair sharing our time. We can actually come here with an agenda. We can push that agenda, and we don't have to worry about sharing that with anyone else. And speaking of pushing our agenda, my guest next Monday night, now next Monday night is September the 17th, and does anybody know what day that is? It's Constitution Day. And what better guest could I have on Constitution Day than Cynthia Davis herself, Miss Constitution.
Excellent.
And she's going to be here with us for the entire period. She's going to share with us, and then we're going to have her back again. I don't know how we got so lucky to have her on Constitution Day, and then again on Election Eve, November 5th.
That is lucky.
So, we got really lucky on that, and Donna was really gracious to us in getting that done, and we thank her for that. So here's this guy here once again, and we've all heard this 100 times, but we're going to hear it one more time from this guy.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome. So that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
Okay, that was our great leader, our great and fearless leader, talking to us once again about how unpatriotic George W. Bush was with his addition of $4 trillion to the national debt, how unpatriotic it was to take out a credit card on the Bank of China and stick your children with that debt, and he's right. Seldom is the president right. But he's right on that. It was unpatriotic of George Bush to do that. I rode him for 8 years for doing that. I think that anyone who is worried about the welfare of their children and grandchildren and the future of this country rode him for 8 years for doing that. But let's be serious. Let's be serious. The man was there for 8 years. He boosted our debt by a whopping $4 trillion, which is shameful.
Yes,
I don't have to do a lot of math to say that that's a half a trillion dollars a year.
Correct.
Okay. Here we've got a man who's increased the debt $6 trillion in 3 years. Now, help me with that math.
Closer to two.
$2 trillion a year. And
yep.
and he had the balls to stand up there during that campaign and say George W. Bush was unpatriotic and irresponsible for borrowing $4 more trillion in 8 years. And, you know, he is absolutely right. But, you know, it's kind of like the war on women thing, you know. I mean, yes. In my mind, the Republicans are waging a war on women. I don't see that particular war as one that's justified. I know other people disagree with me on that, and that's fine. It's my show, though. I get to say what I think. But who are these people cheating women to the tune of 9% of the working population out of a paying job, cheating families to the tune of 9% of the population out of bread for the table, cheating African Americans to the tune of 12% of the African American workforce out of work, cheating your children on education, putting all this debt on your grandchildren. Who the hell are they to stand up there and talk about a war on women? And that's the same thing, way I feel about this. Yes, yes, he's right. George Bush was irresponsible. George Bush was incredibly unpatriotic. But who the heck is this guy to call that?
You know, Dave, it's kind of funny. You don't hear speeches like that coming out of Barack these days.
You don't.
No.
I was talking to one of my liberal friends, and they were talking this morning, this very morning, about Bill Clinton's speech and what a glorious presidency he had. And I pointed out they were talking about once again about how we owe all of this to George Bush, how the Republicans, two different issues. We owe all this to George Bush, and Barack Obama, the only reason he hasn't been able to fix it, of course, is because the Republicans have blocked him at every turn. And it only took about 15 seconds to do away with that second argument, of course, by reminding this person that for 2 years, B.O. got anything he wanted. I mean, he got a rubber stamp on anything he asked for. And in that 2 years, he took unemployment from 7.8% to 9%. He increased our debt at that point in that first 2 years by $3 trillion, almost as much as George W. Bush did in 8 years. And this was all in the two-year period where he had an absolute gimme for anything that he wanted to get done. So no, you don't get to talk about the Republicans blocking him at every turn. But going back to this, you know, Bill Clinton was, I mean, as Democrats go, Bill Clinton was a good president. Jimmy Carter was a horrible president. Ronald Reagan was I don't put Ronald Reagan on the pedestal that Sean Hannity and some of those people do, but he was a good president. I can tell you all the things that every president from Harry Truman, the buck stops here, through George W. Bush have in common. Not a one of them ever said it's someone else's fault. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, they thought it to be poor judgment to try to dump everything on the previous president.
That's right. Now, Ronald Reagan, say what you want about Ronald Reagan, he took over after Jimmy Carter. If you're alive today and more than 35 years old, you know what that economy was like. You know what that America was like. And Ronald Reagan put his nose to the grindstone, and whether you liked trickle-down economics or not, whether you liked his philosophies or not, he got it done, and never once did he say, and he rightfully could have, I got left with a mess. I got left with a mess. Look what I got left with. He didn't. He never once said it. He never once looked back. He went forward, and he rescued this country.
I agree wholeheartedly. The other thing that you constantly hear out of this one, out of this president, in defense, is whenever he says it would have been worse had we not gone the path that we did. Well, how subjective is that, and how could you know where do you actually enter into the arena of ideas on that statement?
Right, exactly. That's it's insane. My horrible golf game would have been worse if I hadn't had this new number three iron.
Absolutely. I spunk it up, but it would have been worse, I'm sure.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are, $15 trillion in debt, and this is what I was getting to tonight. I don't know how many people, this is the first time I've talked about this on this show. $15 trillion in debt is unimaginable. $16 trillion as of yesterday, by the way. It's unimaginable. But if you find $16 trillion, which your great-grandchildren are going to work 60 hours a week and pay 75% of their money to the government to pay back, get a hold, wrap your arms around this number. Unfunded liabilities. That is the money that isn't even figured into the accounting process, isn't even figured into quote-unquote debt, but is money that we owe to people actuarially for Medicare, for Social Security, and for pensions. $120.5 trillion.
Unbelievable.
$120.5 trillion. If you find $16 trillion in debt unimaginable, look at $120 trillion and say, "What? I just listened to the president stand up in front of us and tell us that Social Security isn't really about to go bankrupt."
Okay, so let me just throw this in there. Am I the only one in the room who's questioning why it's not part of the debate during this election season that cutting entitlements is not part of the debate?
I believe it will be part of the debate, but why isn't it already? I don't know the answer to that. We have, as a vice presidential candidate here, the only guy who has ever put forth a budget proposal that rescues Social Security and Medicare. The only person in my life who has put forth a budget proposal that rescues these two programs. Why aren't we talking about that? I agree, Lisa.
I believe that, yep. Like you, Dave, I believe that it will come to light more as we move along in these last 2 months. But it should already be. I agree with that.
When I look at the things that really scare me, a 1-point convention bump for Romney and a 5-point convention bump for Obama. I mean, the convention bumps don't mean anything, you know. They're smoke and mirrors. They're eye candy. But usually they're a little bit more comparable.
For a while now, the one thing that that stands out to me, and that is where people are putting their money. I mean, even if it is in the gambling sector, If you go to intrade.com or you go to some of these other sites, or even you just look at the Vegas odds themselves, right now, well, actually, 2 weeks ago, even before the convention, I haven't checked it lately, but to win $100 if you wagered on the president, you would have to put up $170. To win, if you put $100 on Romney, you would win $150. So, I mean, those are the things, too, that above the polls, really, that bring a little bit of concern, or a lot of concern, I should say.
Yes. Now, my concern is somewhat assuaged when I go behind the polls and look at state by state the Electoral College. I still believe that Obama's in serious trouble when I look at that. I think the states that matter, now he's down in Florida trying to win that state back, and we'll see how that goes. I don't think he can. He has crapped on seniors. He has crapped on Latinos.
He's crapped on the military.
He's crapped on the military. So I don't see him winning Florida back. He's down there giving it the old, I would say college try, but he failed at the college. So I think maybe for him, he needs to give it some other kind of try. The old community try down there in Florida.
Well, what about the immigration policy that he just breathed into existence recently? I mean, that's a last-ditch trying effort, too.
It is. But you know what? That is something that I think is going to – I firmly believe now, and you know, we all have to understand that us people here, we travel in pretty closed circles. Most of our friends are like-minded to us to one extent or another, and we don't actually get out much into the real world. But I think that the average Latino American is insulted by being pandered to like that. I think the average American of Latin descent is first an American and believes as most Americans do that you need to be a citizen of the United States to get the benefits of being a citizen of the United States, to include voting. And it's just like, you know, every African American that I talk to, every American who is of African descent, I hate those terms that the liberals cooked up to identify Americans by culture. Every red-blooded American of color had ought to be absolutely insulted that the president and the Attorney General of the United States think they are too ignorant to go get a damned ID card.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I have I had a run-in with cancer a while back, and one of the doctors that I was seeing, he was a Korean man that is an American. And the thing is that he came over after some very difficult times in his own country. He told me he volunteered on his own, and he's in his 70s. Earlier part of the 70s, but great shape. And he volunteered on his own. You know, he said, it took me 12 years to get my citizenship. He said, now they cross the border and demand their rights. So
right.
That is similar to what you're saying.
Right.
But he kept apologizing. I'm sorry. Don't be sorry. You know, you're one of the individuals that helped to make this country great. And that is those that we cannot ignore the law. We can't. If it's inadequate, you know, that you have to make attempts to change it. If it's or at least have the guts to try to. If you claim it's inadequate, if you ignore it, you open up so many different unintended consequences that then you're dealing with issues that you cannot make a right decision down the road. I mean, it's a mess. It never should get to that point, but it's what happens when you ignore the law of the land.
Absolutely. Okay, that's our national minute.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in...
Well, it's not. It's not. I'm going to say this, too, Lisa. I'm going to say this, too. I do not know to this day why we are not turning on the television every time we want to watch a Cardinal game, or every time we want to watch reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond, or every time we want to watch American Idol, and seeing advertisements with this clown's own words as the lead.
You know, I think that's a great point, because I've been thinking the same thing. And I'll tell you what, every time I do turn on the TV, I see the Bill Clinton ad on every station that I look at. What in the heck are the Republicans money on? They're not sending it to Todd Akin.
That's right. And you would never know to turn on the TV today that Republicans have almost twice as much money in the bank.
Unless they just go for a last-minute blitz, but I'm not seeing a big effort here to win the race.
That's right.
I agree with you.
You know, and why it may come. I mean, it may come, and we may see it. But every time we turn on the TV, we'd ought to be seeing an ad that talks about fiscal responsibility, that talks about Paul Ryan saving Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and Barack Obama trashing Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. We'd ought to see ad after ad after ad after ad that leads with this guy's own words.
Amen. I agree too, wholeheartedly. I what about his energy policy?
Yeah.
What about when we're talking about how we have to have electricity rates where we're paying more, where we have to. Well, I just got an increase in the mail from Ameren UE, at least a request for 17% of an increase, because they're suing Ameren right now on several different fronts, including Rush Island, which is delivering my electricity.
Exactly.
It's their policy.
And a energy secretary who says that his goal is for us to be paying the same for gasoline as Europe.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great point, because, you know, I think that they could probably just mop up the floor with Barack Obama now if they would have television ads just reminding everybody what the price of gasoline was when he took office.
Yeah.
And we thought it was too high at that point.
Yep.
And the fact that this is not this is his plan. It's
That's
what
right.
he said that they want. They want $5 a gallon gas.
That's right.
We're not even where they want to take it yet.
That's right.
It's a way to get to the SUVs. It's a way to make us move closer to work. It's a way to accomplish all of the ideas of the progressives that they couldn't get done for years any other way.
That's right. And I want that ad. I want that ad with the energy secretary calling for gas prices as high as Europe and Barack Obama saying that the gas prices are George Bush's fault.
And saying you're going to have to get rid of your SUV.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to turn down your heat in the winter and your turn up your air conditioner in the summer. Saying that we're going to have to. Not saying that these are choices you can make, but saying we're going to have to.
Or deflate your tires, too.
Yes.
Don't forget that. Yeah, you can deflate your tires. You can deflate your tires and save the country. You can deflate your tires and make America great and prosperous.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
I'm Dave. Lisa's here. And our newest voice of the voice of liberty is Kevin Harned. He's here. We'll be back in just a moment. It's 347-677-1835. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, and this is the Hour of Truth.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
So dear, for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back, and you knew we would be. 347-677-1835 to get yourself heard on the Voice of Liberty, the Hour of Truth, on a Missouri Grassroots Radio. Here's the part where, I mean, we finished bashing on the president for a while. We finished with the National Minute, which turned out to be about a national quarter hour tonight. But this is the part where we usually go on and leave the nation behind and get back to our roots, which is Missouri politics. But not tonight. Tonight I want to talk about the fact that there are so few people, Kevin and Lisa, out there today under the age of 40 for sure, and maybe under the age of 30, who can tell me what day Pearl Harbor Day is, or who can tell any of us what day D-Day is.
Are we going to talk about education?
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Are we talking about education now?
We are not. We are talking about the fact that we do not want our great, great grandchildren to be like our children are, and we want them to remember forever and ever what happened tomorrow 11 years ago. And there's a reason we want them to remember that. I mean, you know, do you know why a guy can stand on stage and say, and we need to bring all these troops home to our own borders and get away from trying to tell everybody in the world what to do? And young people will flock to him like he was a messiah. And the reason for that is because they have no clue. They don't get D-Day. You know, they don't get Pearl Harbor. They have no clue that those troops aren't in Germany and England and Abu Dhabi and Kuwait. So we can push people around. They're there so that we never again have to throw 180,000 of our young men at a beach to undo something we should have never allowed to occur.
I think it's education.
And when we forget that, it's pretty darn costly.
And you know, we've lost so many from that generation too. When we're looking at World War II, I forgot how many leave this earth every day. The numbers have dwindled so much, and that goes with all of these. And we shouldn't forget their sacrifices. And also, you know, that these leaders over in these other countries, I mean, ideas do have consequences, and sometimes we should take them at their word. Whenever they're talking about there was many that denied Hitler was going to follow through on what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And you should pay attention to these guys and take them at their word.
And you should never forget the costs of not doing so. And that is why. We never ever want to forget. Now I spent 3.5 hours today looking for some cool appropriate sound clips to 9/11 that I could put together for tonight, and I couldn't find anything that was appropriate that we hadn't all just heard and heard and heard until they almost became so routine they didn't mean anything to us anymore. Oh my God. But I want to take a moment right now to bring back to our minds where we were 11 years ago. Where were you 11 years ago when they broke into the daytime news with reports that America had been attacked? I mean, I can't imagine. I wasn't alive. I can't imagine the horror, the grief, the amazement that Americans felt on that December 7th morning, when they turned on the radio and heard that our country had been attacked by a foreign force. And I wasn't there, so I don't know what that was like. But I can only imagine that it was exactly what I felt in the pit of my stomach when I saw that tower come down on the TV and knew that our nation had been attacked by an outside force defiantly and openly. It enraged me. It made me boil. It made me want to weep. It made me ball up my fists in anger. And it to this day, it didn't make me do this. It led me to knowing that to this day, our mission in this world needs to be to kill everyone who waves the flag of Al-Qaeda. Wherever we can find them, they need to be sought out, and they need to be wiped off the face of the earth for what they did to almost 3,000 totally innocent men, women, and children in that building, people who had never done anything to them, people who had never challenged them in any way. People who had no avarice or animosity toward them, just for the fun of it, to kill almost 3,000 innocent Americans. We need to hunt them down, and we need to kill every one of them until Al-Qaeda just doesn't exist anymore. And I want us to carry these thoughts into tomorrow. Now, tomorrow night we are going to have a special show, a special 60-minute show, where we are going to do nothing but talk about and remember that day 11 years ago, and we will have some sound. I have found some new sound that all of you haven't heard before that will kind of help us put some of this in perspective. But Lisa's going to a K&N rally tomorrow, where they're going to be dealing with remembering 9/11, and we'll try to get her on the phone and get a little bit of live chat going from there. But for right now, I just want us all to be quiet for just 20 seconds before we break for our second break, and remember. Remember where you were and what you felt 11 years ago tomorrow.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death!
We're back. We're going to talk briefly here about some Missouri politics, and then we're going to turn the microphone over to the newest voice of Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, Kevin Harned. He's going to start starting next week. Now, not this Thursday. We are going to have a show this Thursday. Kevin, unfortunately, has a previous engagement that he can't escape. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and have the show this Thursday, just to get the Thursday night shows rolling. I will come on, and Kevin will join when he can. And then from then on, Thursday night belongs to Kevin. Kevin, what are you going to do with that show?
Well, Dave, I mean, the main thing that I want to get people to think, it's not just that the desired outcome is what we want to happen happens. It's the fact that what's behind it? What's the intention? Because intentions do matter. Ideas have consequences. For instance, I mean, one of the things, and Lisa kind of touched on it earlier too, when we were talking about education. You touched on it when we were talking about history. One of the things, why the intent to change history? The idea is that if you change the intentions of somebody's actions from years ago, you also change drastically history itself. And I just want people to think why – I want them to know in their head what they feel in their heart. In other words, we want to know what we believe, and we want to know why we believe it. And that's just some of the things that we want to look into. I also want to touch base on many of the things that a lot of us hear all the time that we don't really understand, whether it be the FDIC. I mean, we see that everywhere on banks, but most of us don't understand the extent of its reach into our lives on a daily basis, and what kind of an effect that has on the economy. Many different aspects like that.
Cool. We'll look forward to that. That should be very educational, and I'll be catching all those shows. I enjoy listening to Kevin. I've listened to him on the radio before, and I know that he's good at what he does. I know that he's smart, and I know that he's passionate, and I know that you folks out there will enjoy every minute that he's with us. But let's not forget we have something going on Wednesdays too. Wednesdays is what is Wednesdays, Lisa?
It's the Culture Vigilante Hour, Dave.
Oh, it is, yeah. Go with
I'm
that.
I'm surprised you have to ask after all this time now. We're trying to reshape the culture and take back the country and return it to constitutionally conservative roots on Wednesday nights at 7.
Good. That sounds good. Lisa has a couple of really, really good segments that recur. The Patriot Spotlight, where she goes around the state and highlights Patriot groups and does kind of a little membership drive for those groups, a little advertising, a little biographical work on those groups and what they're all about and why they are. And if you'd like to get your group highlighted in the Patriot Spotlight, all you got to do is send an email to info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, or even for that matter, call 347-677-1835 and come in here and chime in on whatever it is we're talking about, and just on your way out the door say, hey, by the way, I'd really like a Patriot Spotlight for my group. And then she does something really cool, and I've just got to brag about her on this, because here at the local radio station down here in Springfield, the biggest talk radio station in town, they have just started a new segment where the leader and founder of Locke & Smith, Dr. Lilly, is going to be on there as the legislative session goes on, talking about do-nothing legislation, the stuff that Lisa calls and has always called Yankee Doodle legislation. And the fact of the matter is that this radio station has has plagiarized Lisa's whole idea here. And so that is that. That's just to say that she has this other recurring segment called A Yankee Doodle Legislation, where she gets Tom Martz, a very wise guy from not a wise guy, but a very wise guy from.
You're going to blow all my guests for me there, Dave.
From Locke and Smith. Well, no, I mean this is a regular guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a good guy, and he works very hard in the Locke and Smith organization, along with all the other folks there, to ferret out all the ridiculous legislation that goes through the House and the Senate.
And so he comes along to Lisa's show, and he talks about this Yankee Doodle legislation with Lisa. This legislation that, as Lisa says, has no other purpose than to give some politician a way to go home and beat on his or her chest and say, "Oh, look what I did for you! I got you a veteran's license plate. I named a bridge after your great grandfather."
Or it just fires up the passions of the folks. It's all very emotionally based stuff. It gets the folks all riled up, but it does absolutely nothing to secure freedom and liberty for them. So it's great to campaign on. You can almost hear the music in the background when they talk about it, but it does absolutely nothing for the folks.
Speaking of liberty, a few years ago some fellows, there were no ladies involved in this, boarded a ship in Boston Harbor and threw some tea into the ocean, and that was an absolute protest to the Stamp Act was in there a little bit, but mostly it was in protest of the tea tax, which had just been brought in, and I use that tea tax and the Tea Party as a segue into our next segment, which is about the use tax in Missouri. I don't know if you've been following what's going on here, but here's what it is. If you go to Illinois and buy a car, you pay a sales tax in Illinois. And it is illegal then for the state of Missouri to then turn around and charge you a sales tax in excess of the difference between what you would pay if you'd bought it here and what you would pay if you bought it in Illinois. In other words, they can actually say, okay, our sales tax is 6.4%. Theirs is 5.9%. You got to pay us 0.5%. That seldom happens because we have a pretty reasonable sales tax in this state. Unfortunately, it would be much better if we had no income tax and a slightly higher sales tax, but that's beside the point. Tonight, it's not beside the point at all. But tonight it is beside the point. And so what some Missouri communities do is they charge a use tax to get around the sales tax issue. And that is, you know, when you buy a car, you have to pay a use tax on that car. And that tax has, in fact, been ruled constitutional, provided that the people being taxed, that is, if Springfield wants to have a use tax, or if Greene County wants to have a use tax, or if St. Louis or St. Louis County or St. Clair or whoever wants to have a use tax, then whatever the jurisdiction is of that tax, the voters have to vote on that use tax. Well, in a trick where they called this thing a sales tax, but it's really a use tax, the last quote-unquote conservative legislature, we won't raise your taxes, pushed through this use tax. And the governor, who we don't usually take the side of, vetoed that tax and cited all the things that we just cited. First of all, it's unconstitutional. And second of all, it's a tax increase, and you and I both, legislature, promised these people no tax increases. So that is vetoed by the governor. Now, in Missouri, if you folks aren't aware, once a year, sometime about the end of summer, the legislature gets back together, and they have a special session, usually only lasts a day, where they discuss and vote to override or not override any vetoes that have piled up on the governor's desk since they decided to take off back in May. And that session is coming up. And so we need you, dear listeners, to go to your legislator, your representative, your senator, and let them know. Now, this is your Missouri State rep and senator. Let them know that they need to be upholding the governor's veto. Shame on them for ever passing this damn thing to start with. But right now, they need to uphold the governor's veto. I'm hearing that there are a lot of special interests up there trying to work this issue. And so we need to be making our voices heard. You can go to unitedformissouri.com, all one word, unitedformissouri.com. It's very nice. There's already an email there made out for you to just say a form letter. I don't like form letters. I would much rather you know the email address of your representative and the email address of your senator. I'd rather you know their phone numbers. And I'd rather you use your own words in telling this this man or woman, you work for me, and I don't work for you, and I want it done this way. But get that moving, and I'm pretty sure that here we're in pretty much agreement that's the way it needs to be, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean I am. I know that I've heard some arguments. On the other side, there's concerns of auto dealers losing sales to those that are just across the river in Illinois as people use those savings in sales tax whenever they license their vehicles. But again, there are other avenues if they desire to keep these sales tax. There's other avenues that they could go about legally and constitutionally to address the needs, and I agree with you. I don't believe that they should override the veto.
Right. What they should do is build a large, you know, we keep talking about this wall, this fence we need to build along the Mexican border. Just build a wall around the state of Missouri so that no one can go outside the state and buy a car, and problem solved.
Yes. I guess that would that's one avenue.
Okay, Kevin, bio yourself out for our listeners here just a little bit.
Okay. Well, again, as Dave said, I've been involved in radio through the years. I am an instructor in the trades, so I like to keep myself busy. But I also like to engage in conversation with people that does not always think the same way as I do. I think it sharpens your thought process. I think it also gives you a firmer ground to stand on. For instance, whenever Dave mentioned earlier the Boston Tea Party, he talked about why they did that particular thing. And again, you know, if you don't understand why they did it, then you know, somebody else could tell you that they didn't like that flavor tea. I mean, it's many, many, many different things to kick around. And the bottom line is, we got to have a foundation. We have to be consistent. We don't want to take the ends justify the means on different approaches. We need a consistency. You know, I mean, whenever we look at the presidential elections, I mean, the one thing that we don't see at all on one side is at least what he's saying is consistently is the president. Unfortunately, there's some wavering with his opponent that hurts him more than anything else. I mean, whenever John Kerry years ago, you know, he voted for the war before he voted against it, and whenever he's in Detroit telling everybody about this great SUV he has, but he goes down to Florida to Earth Day and says it's not his SUV, it's his wife's. I mean, these kind of things, people want consistency. Whether you agree with somebody or not all the time, you want them to have a foundation and you want them to be consistent. You can still respect somebody and not agree with them, but not whenever the ends justify the means. If we throw away the principle, if we throw away the foundation, then the only difference between you and them is just a matter of opinion. And we need to kind of check ourselves a little bit. I think that's one of the greatest dangers that we face right now in grassroots, and that is that it's easy sometimes to latch on to we want to just push this cause because it's a desired outcome. We want to make sure that it's consistent with our core beliefs, if that makes sense at all.
Makes perfect sense to me. I'm glad, though, that you led that by saying that you enjoy discussing with those who don't agree with you, because that means you'll fit right in, too, with our Friday night roundtable.
Well, I'll be more than happy to participate.
And we'll look forward to that, too. So, folks, there you have it from the mouth of the new Missouri Grassroots Radio Network host, Mr. Kevin Harned. He'll be on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Have you decided on a name for your show yet?
I think it's one that I've used in the past, and I think Truth Matters is a good name because it honestly does. I mean, it's the truth is what matters. We hear a lot of agenda. We hear a lot of other things, and it's really everything comes down to the truth. It carries a lot of weight, and it should.
It sure should.
As your hour of truth. I mean, it's, I know it's awful similar, but it does. I mean, ultimately, that is what carries more weight than anything. Just recently, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about with some, and that is there was a proposal in our area for the council to approve it, to put it on the ballot on term limits. Now, our council is, regardless of anything else, you know, we're talking about a council that's 2 years old. And though I agree with term limits, I always have agreed with term limits in the past, there's good reasons for it, and I also understand some good arguments against it. But I've been supportive, especially on the national level, on term limits through the past. And the bottom line is, it's not always your argument that matters. It's also how you present that. And one of the ways that it was being presented to the council was, and I'm talking about Jefferson County Council, was, you are denying the vote of we the people if you do not put this through on the ballot. Now, that carries some valid argument, wouldn't you guys say?
I would.
Now, that, and I see that point. I do. What we have a tendency to do, though, is demagogue each other whenever there's those that can have valid points on both sides. And what scares me about this approach, because whenever it didn't pass, there was an ad taken out that spoke of them, you know, denying we the people the right to vote on this. And the thing that I find with the strategy that is dangerous is, first of all, you know, a lot of the same people are in opposition of the 17th Amendment. They think it's done a lot of damage to the country, and personally, I agree. But the point is how do you make this argument and then go back and oppose the 17th Amendment whenever you're saying that you're trying to strip the vote of we the people and send it to the legislature of the state? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
What about the Electoral College? What about those? Here's my point. What is going to be your argument whenever people want to go to popular vote for a president and in the same turn, you know, get rid of the Electoral College? And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm opposed to a popular vote for a president.
Oh, I would agree.
So are we denying we the people the vote? I mean, it's. I'm just saying that the strategy can be very dangerous. There are a million good reasons to say I'm for something or against something. Sometimes, you know, just like that, if they came up and they said, you know, I support term limits because this, and then if the council person or councilman, councilwoman didn't vote the way they liked, they could oppose them. But to use this language and in this fashion can set them up to a very awkward position down the road.
Go, Lisa.
Okay, so I'm confused. Are you opposed to repealing the 17th Amendment?
Absolutely not. And that's my point, is most of the same people that are saying you are denying a vote of the people by not allowing this to go to the ballot, they, instead of just expressing why they support term limits, they're using that particular course. Most of them want to repeal the 17th Amendment, and the same argument can be used against them. Why are you denying the will of the people? And I'm just saying that we gotta think of why and how. What are, you know, we can't set ourselves up to be inconsistent. There's a million good reasons to argue for term limits. There's good reasons to argue against them, including, you know, I mean, you know, I see points on both sides, but the point is that we have to be careful with the argument that we make is what I was trying to say.
I agree. The only thing that there aren't valid arguments for on both sides of are the need for a Article 5 constitutional convention.
Okay, Dave.
Right.
I don't know if you saw what's going over in this side of the studio, but I just nudged Lisa in the ribs with that. Yeah.
We will have this conversation at some point.
Okay. Well, no, I agree with you, Kevin, and as much as I agree with you, there are times when I find myself taking what would appear to be an inconsistent stance. I believe you and I discussed one of them today, and you've got to be able, and this is why the, what you call the arena of ideas is so important, because you have to be able to justify that when you do it. I mean, you don't just get to stand up on stage and say war on women when you're standing in the middle of a pot calling the kettle black by doing so without being able to tell you, and none of them can, why your war on women is any different than their war on women. And so I think, yeah, I agree with you. You have to be very, very, very careful not to just arbitrarily set yourself up as inconsistent. But there are times, and this is where the discussion of ideas and ideology comes in, and I look forward to hearing from you on Thursday nights.
Well, I certainly appreciate you guys bringing me on board. I do. I've caught a lot of the programs, not consistently because I've been pretty busy, but I definitely try to catch them when I can.
Cool.
Very, very educational. And also Lisa, you know, does her writing, and it's enjoyable to read some of her articles every once in a while.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
She's good. Lisa, let's close tonight with you reminding everyone about Christmas.
Christmas is coming. It'll be here before you know it. And it's been kind of a tough year for a lot of us here in Missouri, and it's been tougher for some more than others. And we want to make sure that we can do our part as patriots and conservatives to help out a few of those families across the state that are going to have a hard time providing Christmas for their kids and maintaining that magic of Christmas for their young ones. So what we here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition are doing is trying to raise a little bit of money, a little bit of cash, not much, to be able to go out on Christmas Eve and look for some underprivileged families who might have some layaway accounts in department stores, who may need a little help paying off those bills at the last minute so that they can provide those toys for underneath the tree for their kids. So we've got a page set up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website. It's the Secret Santa page. Look for that tab. And go there and send us a few bucks, you know, $5, $10, whatever you have in your pocket. Just send us a few dollars, PayPal, check, money order, so that we can raise enough money to go out and help a few of those families through some hard times and keep the magic of Christmas alive for kids.
And you say you're just looking for a little bit of money. Are we talking about, what, $2,000-$3,000 here?
We're not talking anywhere close to that. We want to raise $500 this year.
Oh.
Last year, the organization helped two families, I believe, and we want to double that number, and we figure that'll give, you know, $500 ought to be able to cover that. If we exceed that amount, that's great. If we don't make that amount, we're going to make it up ourselves, so we would appreciate anything that you could send us. We're not asking for a lot of money, and we're asking early because we don't want to wait until the last minute because we know everybody's going to be busy at Christmas trying to provide for their own families. So if you have, you know, some spare change in your pocket and you can push it through your PayPal account in our direction, we would really appreciate it.
Exactly, and this is important, folks. This is really important to get to this point. Every dime, every penny you send in goes to these toys. There is no overhead. There are no salaries. There's no expensed out in getting this done. Every penny you send in is going to go to the mission of providing a Christmas for underprivileged children. At the end of the time, however much money is there, and we hope for 500, we would like to do four families this year. But whatever is there, whether it be 400 or 700, the members of the executive committee have agreed to reach into our pockets. And I'm not saying we're going to reach deep because we're not rich people, but we'll reach in there for $5 or $7 or $9 or whatever it takes to make sure that whatever we do, we go over what you have donated so that we can, it's for no other reason than that we get to keep our promise that at the end of the thing, at the end of the Secret Santa, there is no money left in the bank and that every penny you've sent in is going to this worthy cause. So won't you do it?
Lisa?
Won't you? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dave. I was just going to ask you, let's say that somebody out there is listening and they want to share this information with their congregation. What would be the best way that they could impart that information? What could they share with the congregation? Where can they find you and make that donation?
We are at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org on the Internet, and we have a tab set up on that page called Secret Santa, and you can go right there, and you can donate right through our webpage through PayPal, check, or money order. And we would be more than happy to take your donation in that form. You can send us an email if you have any questions at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. If there's any other questions that we can answer for you, we would be happy to do so.
What a great cause. You guys are doing a good work there.
Absolutely. Well, us guys now, Kevin.
Yeah. We're all working together.
There you go.
Well, I'm honored and look forward to trying to up the ante.
And listen, listeners, it isn't us guys because it's you people. You people did it last year. You people can do it this year. You know, I'll tell you what, and I've got to kind of tie this in. You people got the Secretary of State to change that Prop E ballot language. The Secretary of State got phone calls. The Secretary of State got emails. The Secretary of State figured out that we were on to her, and she fixed it. You people can fix this use tax thing. The last I heard, there were 600 emails already sitting there waiting for the legislators to get to town for this veto session. And there's no reason we can't do 600, 800 more. If you people out there who are listening tonight and who are members of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. If just that group would reach into their pocket sometime between now and Christmas and send us $1, we would beat our $500 goal. So think about it, please. I know you're getting hit for $3 for Todd Akin, and I know you're getting hit, but I hope you're not giving to the National Republican Committee and the Missouri Republican Committee. But this is something, and you know, I mean, survey after survey after survey, year after year after year, we see that that conservative people are the most philanthropic, the most generous, the most give from the heart. And, well, listen, our whole ideology is based on it. Our whole ideology is based on the fact that we don't need the government to take care of hungry people, that we don't need the government to take care of homeless people.
And when we fall short, it gives them ammunition to express why we need government.
That's right.
Up.
Absolutely. That's the best short explanation I've heard in a long time. That's absolutely. When we fall short, that's true. It just gives them an excuse to pick up the slack.
And then you know what happens. Then you get into this vicious cycle where 60 years later, you're sitting around asking which came first, the chicken or the egg. Did we let down, or did they just step in so much that we felt we didn't need to do it anymore?
Well, Dave, unfortunately, too, they've created dependency. So, I mean, it's not
exactly.
just that
exactly.
stepping in and helping people. It's the fact that they've actually created dependency
right.
many times.
And I hate to keep going because we're out of time already. But listen, folks, I don't know about you personally. Maybe you are a Scrooge. Maybe you are an evil person who Barack Obama points his finger at when he says you are the evil person. I don't believe it. I'm not. I know Paul Ryan is not. Anyone who has picked up Paul Ryan's budget and looked at it, even a cursory look, sees that there is no one who cares more about maintaining the safety net than Paul Ryan. His vision, in fact, is to save the safety net. That is not the vision of Barack Obama. That is not the vision of the Democratic Party. That is not the vision of Harry Reid, and it is not the vision of Nancy Pelosi. It is the vision of Paul Ryan and his proposed budget, and I hope it is the vision of any budget that Mitt Romney would propose. I think it will be to save the safety net. We all believe in the safety net, but
can you guys imagine?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dave.
No,
can you guys imagine what would happen if they did boost it to where it was self sufficient? I mean, look at the tool. It's a heck of a tool for Democrats, and you would be taking that away.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It is the social programs are the single biggest buy a vote programs that this country has ever seen.
And if you take away that urgency, like they're the only ones that can save it, then you take away a lot of the leverage.
That's right. Okay, and then you're back to what? You're back. I might become a liberal then if it was kind of like Harry Truman.
I don't. Well, we got you out of that once. We don't want you to go back there, Dave.
So that's the show for tonight, folks. We've talked about Secret Santa. We've talked about the use tax. We've talked about 9/11. We've talked about tomorrow night. We'll be back to dedicate a whole show to remembering 9/11. If you want to join us tomorrow night, please call us at 347-677-1835. Share with us how you felt. Share with us where you were. Share with us your memories of that day. We will dedicate the whole show tomorrow night to that turning point in all of our lives. all of us who weren't alive for D-Day, all of us who weren't alive for Pearl Harbor Day, I don't think there's a one of us who was alive 11 years ago who can't say that that was a turning point in our lives. It affected our feelings of safety. It affected our feelings of patriotism. It affected our feelings of nationalism. It made us hate, and it made us love at the same time. And so call us tomorrow. Be with us tomorrow. Call us tomorrow and let us know how you felt and how you feel. Let us know where you were and what was going through your mind when you saw those towers come down. We'll look forward to that with anticipation and somberness. It'll be a somber night. There won't be a lot of what you're used to from me. There won't be a lot of hollering and screaming and calling people names. It'll be somber, and it'll be a night of remembrance, and I think it will be good for all of us. Good night, Kevin.
Good night, and once again, I appreciate it, and thanks. It's great to be part of the team.
You come along any night, and of course on Thursday nights, it's the show called Truth Matters with Kevin Harnan. It'll start next week. This Thursday night, Kevin will be along for sure, but as he can, because he has a previous commitment that was scheduled before he made his commitment to us. And then every Thursday night after that, we absolutely will look forward to Kevin. Tomorrow night is our Remembrance Night. Wednesday night is the Culture Vigilante with Lisa. You got anything lined up yet for Wednesday, Lisa?
Yeah, we've got quite a few things going on Wednesday. We're going to have a little update about another rally for Todd Akin. We're going to talk about the prop. We're going to talk about the Prop E ballot language and finalize that. Let's see. We may have a Patriot Spotlight still working on it. I got a couple other things in the works. I think that we are going to continue to speak about the law enforcement issue here in St. Charles County and update you on the developments there as well.
Good. Good. I am working hard. Now, I'm not ready to say that I have this done yet, but I am working hard on a special 90-minute show sometime in the near future, but not as near as next week, where we will have a live debate on Prop A. Between a very learned and knowledgeable and dedicated proponent of that and a very learned and knowledgeable and dedicated opponent of that. There are points to be made and points to be heard from both sides. And this is important, folks. I mean, I'll tell you what makes Prop A important is this. You folks who don't live in St. Louis proper. Prop A, if you haven't been with us, is the vote for whether or not St. Louis should control their own police department. Go back and study it. I don't have time tonight to go into why they don't. Okay, they're one of two cities in the world that does not control their own police department. There are valid arguments as to why they should not. There are valid arguments as to why they should not at this time, but maybe they should. There are valid arguments as to why they should at any time, and maybe should have for the last 150 years. So we're anxiously looking to get that debate going, but here's why that's important. Because if you don't live in St. Louis, you will be voting one way or the other to either shove something down St. Louis people's throats or to deprive them of something. You are actually making a vote that has no effect on you, but has a dramatic effect on someone else. So it is imperative that you understand this issue and what the pluses are and what the minuses are, because you are going to be making a vote that affects someone else's life a lot more than it affects yours. And so we're looking forward to that. Good night, Lisa.
Good night, Dave, and good night, Kevin. Welcome aboard.
Good night, Lisa. Thanks a lot.
I'm Dave. This is the Hour of Truth. You've been listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. We love you all. Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.